the fastest, quickest, smoothest footwork. He's the Fred Astaire of jiu-jitsu, the Fred Astaire of judo, but he's the Dom DeLuise of pizza eating. I don't get it. I don't get this.
Everybody wake up.
Time to wake up. Time to start the day.
Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie.
It's time to wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. What rhymes with Dougie? He's just so funny.
It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Live from Danger Studios. Coral Springs, and now you know.
We're the hottest show in the place.
Wake up late now, everybody.
Wake up late
now, everybody.
Wake up late
now, everybody.
I said one, two, three. Everybody wake up.
Live from Danger Studios in Coral Springs, Florida, it's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show, starring Dougie Almeida. Now, let's start the show.
Yeah. What's up, buddy? Welcome to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. I'm Dougie Almeida, and it's Monday afternoon here at Danger Studios in Coral Springs, Florida, August 27th, the day before Election Day, primary or premier, whatever they call it.
Primary.
Primary elections tomorrow. And I'm joined by Ciro Dobrik.
Hey, thanks for listening and watching, everybody.
And Ethan Moore.
Hey, good to be here, Dougie. I woke up late today. I woke up at 1:30.
Really?
That was the. I felt like a drug addict all over again.
That is 1:30.
I have not done that in years.
1:30. The only way you'd wake up at 1:30 is if you've been partying all night.
Right. You know what I did last night? I went to Publix and I got a giant tart. You know those tarts?
Tart.
Yeah, you know, with like the cream in the middle and then berries on top.
Really?
And then I also got a carrot cake. And then two tubs of ice cream. And I just like sat in front of the TV and ate like all of it.
What, did somebody leave you? I'm on
a hardcore relapse.
Why would you choose a tart? I mean, you know, I've gotten
hungry.
You
are talking to you, Ethan.
I was with my girl. She wanted the tart. Oh, but okay. She only ate half of it and I ate all the rest of that shit. Yeah.
A tart.
Yeah. A tart. Is that gay?
Yeah, it is gay.
It's gay.
Yeah, it is.
Well, I didn't pick it out. My girlfriend did, okay?
As a guy who wears a dress and gets in drag and performs every once in a while,
yeah.
I don't know if you want to add to the list that you eat tarts.
You know what I mean? Hey, you can call me whatever you want.
Listen, here, you could be whatever you want.
All right.
You know, I don't give a shit if you wanted to be
insulting.
If you wanted to be like a juggler who wore makeup.
Tarts.
You know, that would be great. I would say, you know, be the best makeup wearing juggler in the world.
I wish I could juggle.
You know what I mean? I'm all for it. I'm not here to, you know what I mean? Everybody makes that. Listen, I make my own decisions, right? I'm not going to make yours. No. I make my decisions.
Well, I decided to wake up at 1:30 today and I had tart all over my face. So,
well,
I think tart's code word.
Yeah, tart's code word for
it's not even a tart.
A French tart.
Guy's ball juice or something. Any rate, welcome to the show. Lots gone on here. We're going to open the show with some discussions on, first and foremost, thanks everybody. Had a great weekend of comedy. Chris Cowles is on there from the Rhythm House, which is in a new comedy venue in Fort Myers.
Cool. Yeah.
And I brought Matt Derndeck and Nadeem Awad out there.
Nice.
And those guys did great. First show they've ever had, the inaugural show.
Oh, cool.
So I was, you know, I was like, all right, yeah, but, you know, it did a good crowd. One guy wouldn't shut the fuck up.
That happens sometimes.
Yeah, this one guy, and the owner of the establishment was sitting there.
Right.
So I even had to make the point where, kind of reminds me of the old, the 33rd Street Wine Bar.
Oh, yeah.
When the owner would heckle the comics.
Oh, my God.
Right?
That was insane. She does it. She did it every time. Candace, yeah.
Yeah.
She would come up to the front at some point during every single show and heckle the headliner.
Yeah.
She would wait for the headliner to get on stage.
I own this place. I could do what I want.
She would just get sloshed.
Yeah,
She'd be so drunk. And then she'd be like missing jokes, and then she'd be asking him to repeat the joke. And
does that ruin the flow?
Yeah. But I always used to look at it as like kind of part of the fun. You know, like if you're a real headliner, you could take it kind of
thing. Yeah, you figure out a way. I'll give you an example. Like, the owner was saying things in the middle of everybody's set
right.
at this place, which is, you know, everybody dealt with it well. But the one guy was just loud and boisterous. He was just like, there was somebody in the back of the crowd. This guy was in his 70s and he had the best head of hair you'd ever want at the age of 70. I mean, this guy had, You know what I mean? Like just that, you know what I mean? That well coaffed hair was silver.
Yeah,
but it was,
no, exactly.
It was like, it was like, you know, like this guy, he took care of his hair. This
like,
guy, this, I mean,
like
you know,
Siegfried and Roy.
Yeah, hair. You know what yeah. I mean? This guy had the fucking.
I'm just like him.
Yeah. You are the antithesis. So I wanted to compliment the guy's hair. Uh-huh. I said, look at that guy. What a wonderful head of hair this guy has. And this big mouth clown sitting right there in the front goes, that guy doesn't have the best hair. You know who has the best hair? That guy back there. He's not here right now. Swear to God.
Wow.
So I go, hold on a second. Then we just reached the zenith of stupidity. I walked off stage and I said, this is what this guy just said. And I sat down next to him. I go, that guy over there has the best hair in this place. Well, he's not here right now.
Jeez.
He's probably home. But if he was here, he'd have the best hair. It was just, you know, so, but it was a fun night.
Yeah.
And then Saturday night over here in Deerfield, the comedy basement at the American Rock Bar and Grill.
Uh-huh.
Dan Long, Minda run it, which, by the way, Minda says she wants to come back and do the show once in a while. So
oh, nice.
She'll be sitting in on occasion as a fallout.
That's a fun venue, too. I like that one.
They did a great job with the place. It's fun. Times. It's packed in there. We were sold out, man.
Nice.
Everybody had to wait outside.
That's awesome.
And I had to get a video. I don't have an hour-long video. A club says, send me your headline set. I'm like, oh, all right. Can I just send you like eight of my 8-minute sets?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Different jokes.
Different jokes. No, but you know what? So I did it. The audio was a little sketchy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, but it was good. It came out well.
I had on Saturday night, I did a show with a few people talking to in the back. I did Brett Engel's recovery show. I opened for Carl Remy.
Yeah.
And that was a good show. It was
Is
fun.
Is that the one on Hollywood Circle area?
Yeah. And it was fun. It was good. Great crowd. But there was like this one section in the, like it was weird. Like by the windows, you could kind of sit so that you weren't looking at the stage.
Right.
And you couldn't see anything. And I couldn't see them. They couldn't see me. But they could hear like a little talking back there. Mm-hmm. That was kind of the only annoying
thing. What were they saying? That guy orders tarts.
They were probably saying, I wish I had some fucking heroin.
Yeah.
Because they're in the rehab.
This guy makes me want to do heroin.
Right.
I remember I did that room once with Carl Guerra.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, I like Carl Guerra. Yeah. I worked a weekend with him once at the Comedy Zone or something.
Yeah.
What's the next Carl Miami. That's going to play there? I want to be with him.
Yeah, you're going to be the next Carl. It'll be Carl Sagan.
Carl Sagan.
It's a hot Carl.
Yeah.
Hot Carl.
But then after, by the way, we went over to the Funky Buddha, which I got, or I should say the Robot Brewery.
Robot.
It changed. It's no longer.
Oh yeah, what's the deal with that?
I don't know. I wasn't there during the negotiations. But right. Somebody, the Funky Buddha, sold that location.
Is it different?
Yes.
I mean, there's some different decor.
Okay.
They've changed Robots? Some things around. There's a robot here.
Robot
or there.
Waiters?
No, not. They haven't reached that level of advancement yet.
Again,
but you know, but basically, you know, different types of beers.
Is the lighting any better?
The
place always had shitty lighting.
On the stage, you mean?
Yeah.
Like you're right. Like you had to be. On the left side of the stage.
Yeah, if you
wanted to get a good light, or close to the right side.
Right. If you ever tried to get a video there, or even a good picture, it was always just not, you know, not, they didn't have much of a spotlight.
Well, that happened that also happened at the Comedy Basement on Saturday. Nadim, who was hosting, was standing in the front of the stage, and you couldn't see him. I mean, plus he's dark. He's Palestinian,
right,
for God's
right.
sakes. But he's, you know, you had to be seen, you had to be... towards the back part of the backdrop.
I hate it when people who put on shows don't put lights on the stage properly.
Yeah,
and I also hate it when comics don't stand in the light.
Yeah.
Stand in the light.
Well, listen,
you're a performer.
Let them do whatever they want. Right. They want to fucking do it their way, let them do it their way.
Yeah, well,
like, listen,
you're headlining.
I had the opportunity to see that happen.
Yeah.
You know, where I'm sitting there watching. I'm like, all right, well, maybe better I stand towards the back. But even
That's
then, even then, you
mistakes.
Want to move. Yeah, I learned, yeah. But, you know, poor Nadim went up first.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And he didn't get to learn that lesson.
I always think it's funny when comics say, oh, the lights are too bright. I'm like, you're a performer. You should. The lights should be bright.
You know what's
the lights
you
aren't
know
too bright. You're doing
you know
it
what's
wrong.
Annoying to me? Like, first of all, that happens. Sometimes you do a club, you're right. Sometimes there is no light on your face, and you're like, and then you're sitting there trying to do expressions. I like to make a lot of expressions with my jokes and,
right.
you know, milk them. But then there's the ones where you got the oncoming train spotlight.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Where you can't see shit.
Right.
Like, if you want to try to talk to the crowd, you can't see the crowd. Matter of fact, you probably can't see very well for a couple days from staring into that light.
I feel like as long as you can see the first couple rows, you're good.
Yeah, you have something to work with.
Yeah.
But, you know, but then what I get aggravated is when I see professionals doing this, where they're putting their hands over their face.
Come on.
And they're out there at a ball game, you know, trying to shag down a fly. You know, I'm like, listen, Like I've done that when I've been in a situation like that. It's so bright and you want to kind of see what's out there. Like, I still won't do it. I won't put my hand.
Who said that? Who called me a cocksucker?
Yeah, you guys are fucking me because I'm blind up here. You know what I mean? But you're right. It's either one or the other. Yeah. You know, God bless Ray Combs when he had the Fort Lauderdale Comedy Club.
Uh-huh.
He had it at a good location at Champ's Place.
Yeah, yeah, I remember
that. It's a
big
room, remember?
That was the
second place. He had a sound system. He had a backdrop. He had a stage. He had people there. You know what he didn't have? A fucking light.
Right.
He didn't have a light. And I told him, I said, Ray,
you got to have a light.
You need a microphone and you need a spotlight and a stage. Right? It's like going to a pizzeria and go, oh, we have no cheese.
Right.
That's, you know, oh, we have no dough.
No tomatoes.
You want a pizza with no dough?
Yeah.
You know what the fuck? You know, you need a light.
Yeah.
Are you sure that was an Italian place?
you can get a garden light at Home Depot and use that if you absolutely have to. If it's a small venue, that'll help.
One time at the Dubliner in Meisner, we had shows there for a little while. And the lights would go, they're like musical acts, where they would, you know, fade and changing the color.
Yes.
And that shit was aggravating. So we tried, one guy who we don't know why they fired him or he was never around anymore. One guy at one of the shows knew how to fix it. So it would just stand the bright light.
Okay.
Right?
But then the rest of the time it was like a Led Zeppelin concert.
Next time, you know, all of a sudden, you know, somebody coughs or somebody bangs into the fucking machinery. And all of a sudden now it starts going back and forth.
Right.
So Perry Sack goes and gets one of those painter's lights.
Yeah, okay.
You know, the ones you go with, like, all industrial light, you put there to do work, and, you know, sticks that bitch up on the thing, and it lit us up, of course. But, you know, I got a tan. I mean, this thing was hot as balls.
Right.
I felt like I was, you know, at a drive-thru sitting there waiting to be ordered.
Yeah. One time, Nadim was doing a show over at that, what was it, like the VFW or whatever?
Right.
One of those places, the Eagles or one.
Yeah.
And he always finds like these great little places to do stuff, but he didn't have a light. So I actually ran out to my trunk and I had like a garden light.
Really?
And I threw that up on the stage and it helped. It worked. Yeah.
You got to have a decent light.
A differential. That's what you need.
You just need to see the face.
Yeah.
You got to be able to see the comic's face. Very important.
You know, that place, Champs with Ray Combs, that was the second place I ever did comedy.
Really?
Yeah, and you were there that first night. I was there, and that was the night I met you and Brett Engel.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Actually, I don't even know if I met you, but you were there. I remember you were funny.
I was trying to avoid you.
Yeah, you were like, oh, this guy's a new comic.
Yeah, I heard about
this guy.
He's like,
Second time on stage ever, and totally bombed. Had no idea what I was doing. But then Brett gave me a ride home after, and I was like, and talked to him.
You guys made out?
Yeah.
Made a little tongue action?
Yeah, look at that. We're still doing shows together in Hollywood.
You guys still together.
Tartlets.
Well,
tartlets.
All right, so I went to the Robot Brewery after. We went after, and we watched Screech, right? And,
oh, yeah, Dustin Diamond.
Yeah, and his good friend from Orlando, Mike Hurley, who I've been on the show, and I said him and I had a falling out years ago.
You and Mike.
Yeah, him and I were good friends. We worked together. Okay. We did shows. And out of nowhere, he just stopped being my friend. And I was trying to figure out where did this happen? You know, what had happened? And it bugged me because, listen, and I said this even to him when I got to talk to him on Saturday night. I go, Mike, there are people that I'm no longer friends with that I can give a fuck less about. Like, you know what I mean? I'm happy with it. You know what I mean? Like, these are people that I don't like. They're not of character. They're untrustworthy. There's a good reason why we're not friends.
Okay.
Right? But the fact that you and I are not friends bugs me to this day because I couldn't understand why, because I wouldn't, you know, I don't know what the fuck I would ever have done or said. And as it would turn out, to keep the story short, it's one of those, you know, what's that old game you used to play?
Telephone,
where you say something to somebody and it goes,
all right. You heard a rumor that you were talking shit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it was translated to him, it came off in a way that was.
What did you say? You said something minor and it came off as something major?
The bottom line was, you know, booking Tavolino's.
Okay.
They wanted to book Screech at Tavolino's.
All right.
And he was asking a lot of money. And Ed didn't want to have Screech at Tavolino's for that price.
Okay.
So then I went back to the connection, this person, who I won't mention, and that person said, well, would you just hire Mike as a headliner? And I go, I like Mike, but I just, and honestly, I don't consider him like a national headliner. I'd like to fill the spot with a national headliner.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Is back on.
I see.
No. Listen,
okay, so you were just like, he's not at that level
yet. Listen,
in
all due fairness, like me, I would consider myself in that same category. Like now, I'm trying to get into a place.
Right.
And I got to send him a 45-minute video. And I told the guy, I said, look, you know, I'm just headline. I'm just basically, I got my hour and I'm just starting to headline. So, you know, I know that if I consider myself as a headliner right up there with all these national headliners, dude, I'm at the fucking bottom of the totem pole.
Right.
Right. I mean, I'm going to be honest about that. So, and that's what it was. It's like, look, nothing. And I was like, dude, I'll give you $125 a feature. You know, I'll tell them, I'll love them to have them come and, you know, I'll put them on a fallout, whatever, you know, but I just can't headline them at this time. And then, you know, so when it got back, it was like, he doesn't think, you know what I mean? So it was one of those things.
Oh, right.
So it turned out like that.
Yeah, he thinks you're not funny.
Yeah.
Although Mike is, that was a couple years ago, right?
I heard he killed on the first show. I heard he killed. This is what I heard. This is bad. I don't give a fuck. But live and learn. I heard he killed.
Yeah.
Opening the show on Saturday at the Robot Brewery.
Okay.
And other people had a hard time following.
Yeah, he's very funny. I've worked with him a couple times.
Right.
Booked him once.
And the king of merch. He sells the flaming wallets and all that shit. He makes thousands of dollars.
Always sells merch.
Yeah.
And he could do 45 minutes, an hour, and kill it. Like when we had him at the wine bar, he was fresh off. He was opening for Louis Anderson.
Right.
And doing you know, whatever it is. And you do in Vegas where you do like over and over, like a bunch of shows. So he just had his shit, you know, so tight.
There you go.
So
yeah. Bottom line is we made up. We didn't kiss. I know you probably, that was your next question. We didn't
have tarts.
No.
No tarts, huh?
I mean, no tarts. And, but that's it. But it's good that, you know, finally, you know. So I'm just letting people, listen, I am a forgiving and I am a person who would like to, you know, make things work.
So you squash the beef.
Yeah. Now, the other people that I have beefs with don't get in line now.
Right.
You know what I mean? I'm not in the mood to settle any other beefs right now.
Dougie, you're notoriously sort of a, I don't know if I want to say, I don't know, controversial figure. Sort of like, there are people that you've had beefs with that people are aware of in the scene over the years.
And here's the fucking God's honest truth. Everybody that hears how the beef started go, well, fuck. You know, it's understandable. I mean, in all due respect. Yeah, and look at another guy like Jay Riss, you know, comic and stuff. We had a beef. He apologized to me, and we're friends again. You know, that's one thing that happened a year ago. He says, look, I realized I was fucking this and that and whatever. Cool, we're done. Now, you know. So, but there's other people that crossed the fucking line. And that is, you know, that's what I'm trying to say. Even when I said to my friend, I said to Mike, look, there's people I have beefs with.
Right.
But I'm not in a hurry to fucking make them, you know, like, but this is one thing that I don't understand. Like, in other words, you know, I have a beef with somebody where I call them a spineless cocksucker to their face.
Uh-huh.
So I don't expect any type of making up from that. You know, and I knew that when I said it. You know why I said it? Because that person is a spineless cocksucker. Right? If someone's a spineless cocksucker and you tell them that, do you give a fuck what they do after?
I don't know. Is that an insult or?
I'm just fucking.
Will all the spineless cocksuckers please stand up?
Right now, there's a bunch of spineless cocksucks. All right. Speaking of that, Richard Miller, who used to be a comic or tried to do comedy here in Florida back when they moved, but
failed
but
comic, you, Richard he, Miller. Dougie
he
goes, says,
"Yeah, I'm saying, he tried, but he wasn't out there all the
new beef."
But you only have 5 minutes. I don't know who he's talking about.
Who only has 5 minutes?
Alexandra. By the way, Alexandra Maria, who was at the show, she said she saw me just fine. Well, you were sitting in the front, sweetie. So, and I'm not that hard to see from that close. Mm. So at any rate,
you don't need glasses.
Here's a something that happened. When's the last time you have a girlfriend?
Yeah.
When's the last time you were on a first date?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know if I really date. You know, I just usually like hook up with girls and stuff.
Right. Okay. So yeah,
just kind of let things happen.
All right. So,
I don't know.
All right. Try to ask him something.
Just bang. 5 years ago.
No, I don't know. Like an actual date where you're like, oh,
a first date. Like, you know, like you meet somebody. Like, okay, let's go have some coffee. You know, like first of all right. Think about this on the first date. What would be a good place for a first date?
Tap 42.
Like the girl's bedroom. I don't know. Like I usually just. Do you date?
Couch.
Do you still date?
I haven't been with my wife for 20-something years.
Respectful people that don't eat tarts date.
I'm not, because I end up meeting a girl, and then we have sex, and then sometimes we end up
Sorry. So what you're saying then is, so what you're saying is, you meet a girl,
yeah,
and you're like, hey, I like you, you like me, that's cool, and you sit there and play with your hair while you talk to her, and then next time you see her, you just go right to the bedroom and bang her.
Well, that usually that first time.
That
if you
night,
don't bang on the first night, then it's a failure. Yeah, you move on. Hmm. Is that weird?
Well,
That's just how my life unfolds. I don't really.
I've never been.
I didn't try to make it like that. But
I've only had a few of those occasions. One night, like quick, you know. I try to. I don't know. I'd be interested. But when I thought about first dates, I can't remember my first. Like I remember my first date with my wife. We met.
Right.
You're talking about Boca. We met at a restaurant. I took her to dinner in Meisner Park.
Okay.
Ooh.
That's nice. I remember that.
You know what? I did. When I lived in Berkeley, I met a girl at a party, got her number, called her up, and then took her out on a date.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we liked each other and we went out again.
All right. So let me ask you a
question. We ended up dating for a while.
All right. So you go somewhere, like the typical, it's horrible to go have a first date at a movie theater where you can't talk. So you want to go out to dinner, you know, go meet somewhere, have it so we can talk and kind of get to know each other, which, okay, now we get into the talking thing. So, on a first date, what are some of the things that you think would be important to discuss?
I'm usually like, I'm a recovering heroin addict. How about
you? So you let that out right on the first date?
Oh, yeah. Why not?
Full
disclosure? Oh,
yeah. The disappointing length of my penis.
I'm usually, I'm like, I have a huge cock.
Well, you're really disclosing.
I have a huge cock, but it's on heroin. That's what I say. Yeah.
It's out right now trying to get some for me.
Right. Who's going to pay?
Yeah, you discuss that?
No, I usually wait for her to offer. And then,
really? You're a dickhead then. You're just banging girls.
If she doesn't offer to pay, then come on.
All right.
But there's no second date.
But when's the last time you've been on a first date?
It's been a while. About 5 years.
5 years. Yeah. Right? And you know, but I was at BJ's last night.
It went good, by the way. Just while, you know.
Yeah. Well, my last first date, it went good too. But we're at BJ's Brewery, which, by the way, great place, great big
great
menu
name.
There.
Great name.
Spineless
Cocksucker Brewery.
Yeah, it's Spineless Cocksucker Brewery. That's what their first guess was, their first thought.
They used to call it Cucks.
So we sit at the bar, and there's a couple behind us on their first date.
Okay.
Now, right off the bat, you know, I'm a bit of a profiler in a sense. I can sense verb usage and patterns of discussion and topics.
Oh,
but
yeah.
This guy,
I love judging. I love listening to a little bit of something.
It's interpretation. There's a big difference between interpretation and judging. So this guy is going over his ex-wives. He's going over why he was divorced.
On his first date.
First date. Disclosing what happened in the first relationship.
Right. He's like, let me tell you about this whore bitch.
Yeah. Let me tell you what happened to the next one. No, I have to tell you this because, you know.
The court says.
Yeah. And this guy's going off. And then he's even saying shit like, you know, you're not very he tells the girl. His date, he goes, you're really not photogenic.
Okay.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
But you're way hotter than I expected from your picture.
But he didn't say that. He was just like, but in person, you know. I was like, what a date. Like,
but that guy's probably going to get laid, huh?
All
the negative shit, that works sometimes.
I always let him know that I'd rather date the picture. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I don't even know why I'm here.
Yeah.
You know?
Fits in my wallet. Yeah. Easier.
Your picture's not going to order a $10 drink.
Does not talk through football.
Yeah,
you know.
But you could just have the date, you know, with your pants around your ankles at home. You know.
Yeah, that would be less cost.
That was my first threesome.
Right.
Yeah, I'm so fat when I jerk off.
It was a picture of twins, actually.
Yeah, so you know what I mean? So this guy's going through this thing, and I'm like, oh, my God. Now I got my wife listening, which is interesting.
Yeah.
Now,
no, I love this stuff, though.
You know what I mean? And she's listening, and this guy's, I went through this engineering, and he's pompous, you know, and this and that. And it was just that. And he keeps talking about, I like women. I like to date women. He must have mentioned that preferential phrase,
and
right?
He likes to date women.
Yeah, most of the women I date, most of the women I'm with.
Oh, right.
You know,
our dudes.
Most of the girls I'm with, everything was like that. And he's been divorced two or three times, and he's talking like, and then I guess he's been on Plenty of Fish. He brought up Plenty of Fish.
Ooh.
He's like, you know, a lot of the girls I meet,
uh-huh.
And I'm thinking, this guy's a fucking idiot. Like, there's two idiots here.
He's a ladies' man.
He's an idiot. because he must be, either he's an idiot, but he might be smart because he realizes she's an idiot.
Yeah, yeah.
Because she's just sitting there. She's probably hadn't gotten laid since fucking Bush was president.
Right, because that picture.
She's not photogenic. She's not getting any help. She doesn't have a good she doesn't have a good headshot.
Right, right.
You got everybody knows you want to get work, you need a good headshot.
In this business,
you're not going anywhere.
Ladies, if you want to get a good headshot, contact me.
Yeah.
I also do facials. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, and even my wife's like, this guy's a fucking creep. You know what I mean? She's like, right. You could tell this guy just has the, you know, and then he's got all these girls. And then the guy went to the bathroom. And I was really tempted to just kind of turn around and go,
run
for your life, man.
Run.
He's a fucking creep. Get rid of this guy. You know what I mean? And it was just funny because I thought to myself, I was thinking back to, like, I mean, there's certain things you like to disclose. Like, you know what I mean? There's things you, like, it's almost like presumptuous. Like, if I'm going to ever be on a first date, I'm not going to be anything like I've ever been in the past.
Okay.
Like, you know what I mean? If anything, God would ever be my wife. My first date, I'm going to be that fucking... If it's possible,
Casanova.
I'm going to sit there and, like, you know, because I almost feel like, God forbid, anything ever happened my way. I'm going to be want to do your life. I'm not going to want a date. I'm going to just go out and bang around. I'm going to be like, I'll be like a fucking cowboy hitting town.
Right.
You know, slinging my guns and.
Life's too short, you know, like when I have tried to date and you try to project an image of yourself or whatever.
Right.
Like, I guess this guy's probably doing too.
But he's right for first date. He's laying it all out. Yeah. Like every fucking. I was waiting for him to tell her all. Oh, you know, by the way, also come quick. Yeah. I have a problem with, you know, my smelly balls if I sit down too long. You know, like, come on,
they
guy.
They call it premature. I call it right on time.
Yeah. I call it getting on time to the airport with all those girls I'm banging.
See, the thing is, you guys aren't going to get full love until you pen a letter to these women.
A letter?
Okay? A letter, an old-timey kind of like Civil War era letter. Let them know.
Most of the letters I picture Ciro doing are like cutting letters out and pasting them so no one can recognize his handwriting.
With gloves on, by the way. Gloves. Don't forget your knife.
I write letters with an X-Acto knife in someone else's letters.
Honey, I wrote you a suicide note.
I just kept
note.
All my crafts materials from when I was growing up and those little letters you can peel off. And
right, you have that glue stick too, right?
I can tell you what, that's an impressive, I know in business that's sure an impressive thing when you send a handwritten note to somebody.
Really?
Like I do that with clients, new clients. And creepy. if somebody refers me a client, I send them a note. You know, hey, thanks so much for introducing me to someone. Yeah, I use a plume like a
right.
Like, cool I go outside pen. And grab some duck and pull a fucking feather out of its ass, and I try to find. I go to the store and get some ink, and you dabble it in there, and I put on my bifocals, my Benjamin Franklins, and I sit there and go,
right.
I'm going to jot a note.
But I feel like you got to be real on those first dates, because what's the point? Like, why waste time? You know.
Well, I could tell you right now. I would do that. I would be like, look, like, first of all, like, all right, let's say I'm right now on a first date. I'm like, all right, well, what do you do? Well, now I have to answer. Do I say I'm a financial planner or do I say I'm a comic?
Financial planner.
Right? That you think? So just go with that. Like, leave the comedy. Don't even.
You should say that financial planning is a hobby, but you're a comic.
Yeah.
I produce a comedy show, so I tell them I'm a producer.
That's what I do. I tell them I teach philosophy as a hobby.
Yeah.
But mostly I'm an artist.
Yeah. There are tons of women on the West Coast think I'm a photographer, too.
I thought it'd be funny if I'd start the conversation with, I'm an astronaut.
Right.
That's impressive. I know. Matt Heath, by the way, speaking of, well, not so impressive. Good stuff today, guys. Did he move? Didn't you say he moved?
Matt, did you move? Where did you move?
I cook at Looney Bin.
Made me enjoy being stuck in traffic.
Nice.
Well, it's nice that you're watching Facebook Live while you're driving, buddy.
Where do you live now, Matt?
Did he move to Chicago or something?
Something like that.
Yeah, where'd you go, Matt? Let us know.
North Carolina.
Yeah. So, anyway, enough of the first dates. I just think, you know, there's some disclosure. Like, I can remember back when I was young and I didn't know better. I'd be like, I would let too much information out.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, you know, nobody, listen, I don't want, if I'm sitting down with a girl on a first date and she's like, oh, my ex-boyfriend, oh, I had my ex-husband, I'd be like, fuck this. You know what I mean? I don't want to hear about this shit.
You remember Goonies when Chunk got caught by the Fratellis?
Yeah, he told him everything.
He told him everything. That's me on a first date. And then when I was in second grade.
It's like a truth serum.
Yeah.
Is this wine or sodium pentothal? I remember one time I was on a date with a girl, maybe 10, 12 years ago, first date, and I was high and trying to, like, seem cool, and it just didn't work. you know? It just, I was just not being myself, you know, and it just didn't, she didn't like it, and I didn't like it, and I was like, I'm not doing this
one
ever
time
again.
In the 90s, I got roofied. It was so good.
Oh, really?
It was so good.
That was a nice first day.
I don't remember shit.
But if you have to be high to get through the day, that's a bad sign.
I'm thinking about cockiness. I remember when I was just in, I was still in high school or something, and there was this girl that worked at this, I worked at a pizzeria delivering pizza, and there was this hot younger, like maybe, you know, middle, like 15, 16, I was 17, 8, whatever.
Uh-huh.
But she worked hot girl at the local clothing store. You know what I mean? And I'm thinking, right. Wow, this is, you know, this is some new, this is a new strange, man. This is great. And I'm all cocky. And like you were saying, sometimes you got to be cocky because I was always a little more humble.
Right.
When I said, then there was that period where I thought, fuck this, I'm the man. You know what I mean? I was the man. And, I walked into that her the retail store they were in, and I walked in. And I'm like, yeah, well, let's see if we can go out. Maybe we could do something this Friday if something's, you know, if we could do it. Maybe I don't know. Let's say if I'm free, maybe we could do something this Friday. And I walked out like, hey, fucking man. That was it. The girl never talked to me again. Right. So I never had a first date because I was such an asshole. I ended up finding out some girl says, oh, she came in all like a fucking. Who'd you think you were, Danny Terrio? Because that was the expression at the time.
I don't know who that is, but
yeah, that was—he was a disco dancer. It was a suave guy, you know. I think he may have been gay, but I don't know if they were trying to tell me I was gay. I think they were just trying to say I was suave, kind of.
You were a little,
you know what
too
I mean?
Much.
I was a little too much. I came in with a little too much attitude.
You were aggro.
Dougie like moonwalked into the joint.
That's
and
right.
Like, hey, babe.
Yeah.
Let's see about Friday. Got it?
Yeah.
Moonwalks back out.
Exactly. Hey, speaking of moonwalking.
All these broads love me.
And now for your dining and dancing pleasure, some international and domestic news you may or may not believe. It's straight from the headlines. With Dougie Almeida.
Yeah. Time for Straight from the Headlines, where we talk about things from here in the United States and around the world. And we make fun of them.
International and domestic.
International and domestic news. That's what we do. Here's our story. Drunk man takes a taxi to his parents' house, falls asleep on the couch, only to find his parents don't live in that house anymore.
You can't go home again.
No.
Like they said.
That's the expression.
Yeah.
No.
Right? where'd this happen? While it's hard to be on top of your game while you're intoxicated, there are three rules to a successful night of heavy drinking. One, make sure you have the Holy Trinity on you, phone, wallet, keys. Two, don't drive. Three, get home safely.
Okay.
Now you've never heard the Holy Trinity of getting home safe.
Yeah, I don't know what this is.
You're looking. You know what I mean?
What does this mean?
You're looking like I felt when I heard that guy talk about his ex-wives.
Who wrote this? What is this?
Thomas Erli probably thought he was in the clear when he ordered a taxi to take him to his parents' house to sleep off of night of drinking. He entered the residence, took his shoes off at the door, went to the kitchen to get a juice, and lay down on the couch.
A juice in a sippy cup.
Yes.
Didn't notice that wasn't the kind of juice his parents drank.
Yeah. What are my parents drinking? Fucking Sunny Delight? Except his parents did not live in that house in Glasgow, Scotland.
Oh, that's Scotland. He asked them for his allowance anyway, though.
Elaine McDade, dance teacher and mother of two, lives there now. And while Thomas proved to be very polite, it still scared the living shit out of her.
Yeah, I bet.
What is out there?
It's a good thing it wasn't in America. She probably got shot.
Yeah, stand your ground.
Heard they're going to repeal that, which is intelligent.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It's a stupid law. Just there
was a guy running for some Florida thing going, I will run on repealing Stand Your Ground. Wow. Looks like
by the way, speaking of those running, I commented on Phil Levine, who's running for Democratic to be governor of the state.
Oh, yeah.
And I love when these politicians, the shooting in Jacksonville happened, and this guy's going, look, another one's going on, and everybody's just, look, you fuck it. Here's the thing. If you think this is about guns and not about the imbalance in society, you know what I mean? I mean,
what was this one? This kid, he got mad that he lost.
He lost a
video game.
Yeah.
Okay. Oof. Well, what does that have to do with the imbalance of society?
That's an listen. When you that's your reaction when you're mad because you lost a game. These are people that have priorities out of whack.
You know,
these are people that don't have any concern of character or worth, self-worth, being, discipline, all these major fucking things that will come back when we can start paddling kids in school again. Some school, by the way, just announced that they're gonna bring the paddle. They're gonna bring back paddling kids.
Really?
Yeah. And that's what the schools need. The schools need to start beating the fuck out of some of these
paddles.
Kids.
Hope that's on the news all the time. Please show us paddling. Oh, my God. That would be the best.
That'd
TV
be a good e-sport.
Why not? These kids, and that's what's happening. More people, bigger populations. You're going to have freaks just going to keep popping out.
Being in the Video Game Hall of Fame doesn't mean anything. So you don't kill people.
Wait, what do you mean?
You lost a video game.
Wait, what do you mean? It's millions of dollars and reputation at stake. Those people are professionals, man.
Well, listen. Oh, yeah?
If history books are writing about the people who won Video Game Hall of Fame awards in 5,000 years, we fucked up as a society.
Yeah, something went awry.
In 5,000 years? I don't know about that, but I bet you they will in 100 years.
You ever seen the pyramids? That was how long ago?
She called her husband at work, and he arrived to drive the guy home. But Daryl, he couldn't remember where he lived. This guy's fucked up.
Oh, this is still the couch guy.
Yeah, the couch guy. So McCade's husband dropped him at a supermarket. Somehow he knew. Parents eventually sent him a photo. This guy's fucked. How much did this guy drink? You know you fucking drank too much when you can't remember even where you live.
Scotland. I mean, come on.
Yeah. Yeah. When you're it's drinking
my
too
ancestors,
much.
Man.
Yeah.
Serious.
Guy had
drunks.
A double malt instead of a single malt.
Mm-hmm. Here's our next story. People are angry over the sex guide, or safe sex guide.
Okay.
Which calls the vagina a front hole.
Okay. What?
We're advancing.
There's
society,
a safe
guys.
Sex guide, and without, you don't want to say certain words.
Okay.
They called the vagina
the first to
the second hole, as if there's a, some people think it the other way around. I know. Oh. I have some friends that would say, "Look, I go to the second one first, man." Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Or if it's a dude, it's just the first one first.
There is no. It's the only one.
That's the.
Well, a new safe sex guide for the LGBTQIA community includes the term front hole.
That's a weird term. That's
something you'd call somebody like on
backwards?
The road.
It sounds like a dehumanizing kind
of. Yeah, you front hole.
Right. Yeah, right?
What a front hole.
So I was fucking her in her front hole.
Yeah.
And I flipped her around and fucked her in her back hole.
It's robotic sex. That's what it's
weird.
Turning in. Robot, yeah. No wonder. Robot Brewery's getting on this shit. They understand. It's all about robot sex.
Why don't they just call it a pussy or something?
Well, I mean,
girl
that
pussy,
would be offensive. You
girl
know,
pussy, boy pussy.
Because if you say pussy, then the lesbians are going to be mad. They're not going to like that word.
Why
or they
not?
Don't. Oh, listen, I'm not a lesbian. I mean, I have, like, I share a lot of their
lesbians.
Likes. I share a lot of their interests, but I can't consider myself a lesbian.
Right.
The health website Healthline, along with Gay, Lesbian, and Straight Education Network, otherwise known as the GLSEN, and advocates for youth, has published the LGBTQIA Safe Sex Guide, which expands current safe sex terminology. Fuck, it's exhausting doing stories about the LGBTIQA. Traditional safe sex guides are often structured in a way that presumes everyone's gender, male, female, non-binary, / trans, is the same as the sex they were assigned at birth, male, / female, / intersex, or differences in sexual development. These guides are also often used to gender body parts as being male parts and female parts and refer to sex with women or with sex with men, excluding those who, well, let me finish, identify as a non-binary. Many individuals don't see body parts as having a gender. People have genders.
How dare you call my penis male? Yeah.
What are they going to call, if that's the front hole, what are they going to call this? The poker?
Right.
Let's call it the poke.
That's the front rod.
The front rod, the front staff. Yeah.
The pole vault.
Right.
The diving board.
The little Moses.
Yeah. The anchor.
Look, I think we should be tolerant towards all of God's creatures, but I just think it's funny to be like, to normal, to like, if 90% or, you know, even like 80% of people are this way, like, why do we have to create a whole new language to...
The purpose of the guide was to choose to include alternative words for the readers to use for their genitals. The statement continues, for example, some trans men choose to use the words front hole or internal genital instead of vagina. Well, I no wonder they're fucking confused. Alternatively, some trans women may say strapless or girl dick.
Girl dick.
God, these guys sound romantic.
Girl dick counts. It sounds kind of hot, though, right?
Hey, girl dick? That seems almost tolerable. Yeah. That almost seems like you could deal with a girl dick and not be gay.
I that's what I've always said.
I got a little turned on watching some transgender porn once. It was weird. Yeah. You know, I was like, this is odd.
I kind of like it.
You know, it's almost like they got a really good strap on. It looks real.
Yeah. That's right.
I got to say, I didn't change it.
Hey, I know. I watched it for about 2 hours. The term front hole was recommended in November. When they studied 10 transgender men, published a journal. The study identified cultural and logistical barriers to the reproductive needs, blah, blah, blah. But
this guide to safe sex, it's like it's I guess like most guides to safe sex, it's kind of not fun.
Yeah, I mean.
You know, like they make something fun, not fun.
If you're having safe sex, it's not fun.
I guess that's the whole point.
I mean, you know, listen, again, I've been with my wife forever. I haven't worn a condom.
Right.
It's been so long, I may have forgotten how to put it on.
Right.
You know, you know what I mean? I probably would fumble with one if I had to.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I you know what I'm saying? I was always the guy that put the squishy part on the wrong side. Right. And it would slip off. You know, the lubricated side.
Right.
I thought it was lubricated for me, okay? I thought that shit was for me. I thought that was the encasing jelly, like, you know, they have in Spam.
Right, right. That's not a condom, Dougie.
No,
that's a front post cover.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Sorry. At any rate,
I guess you have to make it like sort of sanitized and like it like you know we'll sterilize the language so that it's not fun anymore.
But that's front hole
when you're famous, they you know you what would do be anything.
Would be
grabbed
smothered.
By the front hole.
Hey, yeah,
that's right.
Could you imagine if it was called that? Trump wouldn't have gotten any heat,
any problems.
By the way, congratulations to the administration amidst all this other shit that's going on.
Oh yeah, they're doing great.
Yeah, nice deal with Mexico.
Okay.
I love people laughing.
They laugh
actual
like
progress.
And it's really to help millions of people in this country, and they laugh at it because they're more concerned about you know whether he took money out of his pocket or you know you're talking about a billionaire guy. We're worried about where he took $150,000 out of. This is where liberals are on their seat right now. We're going to find out where he took that $150,000. It's going to make all the difference in the world.
Oh sure, let's disassemble the international order that's been brought prosperity to the entire world.
Let me tell you something. You got to shake it up. That's how the world works. The only way you're going to get true change, as one person said it before, I won't mention his name. The only way that you're going to get true change is by changing things. You want to worry about people fucking not shooting people? You got to do change. There's got to be change. There's got to be people, like you said, bring the paddles back. Right? Let's have people making money. Let's see them maybe not working two or three jobs. Let's see the economy kind of stabilize. Let's see manufacturing come. Let's see self-worth develop again in an individual in this country. That's such a far-fetched fucking idea.
What's wrong with NAFTA, though?
Let me ask you a simple question to answer that fucking stupid question.
All right.
If you were working for a company for 25 years and didn't renegotiate your pay and what you do for that job, wouldn't you be a little pissed off?
I think if you work for a company for 25 years, you're an idiot. You should get out there and start your own company.
Well, that's my point. Even the people that helped write NAFTA today on CNBC, the lady who helped draft NAFTA, she says it's time for an update. It's time for NAFTA 2.0. Now the liberals are going, well, listen, here's the best part about it. Mexico, after all the heated debate that, oh, Mexico hates us, they came up with an agreement. Now what's happened is China, fucking Canada and Trudeau, who obviously Trump does not like.
Yes,
right?
True.
And he's part of that dark state. He's part of the Illuminati control of the world. Just to let you guys know. Who's, by the way, dealing with his own issues with Saudi Arabia because he's getting fucked because of issues going on with him in Saudi Arabia. And the Saudis are backing Trump because they know the global fucking order of things. Remember when they hold that weird fucking glowing ball?
Yes, yes.
That was a unity. They all got injected with fucking
right
real manhood.
After they jailed all the last princes and kings.
That's right. So what's going to happen is, and then eventually China.
Right.
Will have to because when you put them together, Canada's going to have to bow down. It's all going to happen, and China's going to be sitting there like, what the fuck do we do? It's already been proven that China doesn't have as many bullets in the gun as we do when it comes to a trade war. People complaining about sucking it up, well, that's what happens. You quit drugs. When you quit drugs, you can't. It's just like you wake up one day and things are just fucking shiny.
No, you have
if
to
you
work
quit,
hard.
You got
to
fucking bust your ass, and it's hard before it gets better.
Sure.
Well, that's what the world's all about. And these pussies in this country, most people are walking around. They don't want it to get harder because they don't know about dealing with pain and issues. And that's why we have fucking a breakdown in society. Because nobody has the character. Nobody has the indomitable spirit. Nobody has the perseverance. Nobody has the coping mechanisms on how to deal with adversity. So they cry out and whine like pussies and babies that the world owes them a fucking favor.
If you want to talk about liberal hypocrisy, talk about McCain. Like, holy shit, man. Watching all these liberals like defend this terrible guy who supported the Iraq War,
right?
And then because
he's Trump and him and Trump don't like each other.
That's right.
That's the only reason these fucking dirtbag lemmings will fucking back anything. They don't have any. They don't have to have any real reason to do it. They look. You backed a whore. You backed the fucking Stormy Daniels. You backed fucking that fucking fuck. What's her name? Kathy Griffith cunt. Listen, let me tell you something. Whatever.
Dougie, we got to get him. We got to get Trump.
Yeah, good luck.
We got to take him down, okay? It doesn't matter.
First of all, there's no guy named Pecker taking down Trump.
Isn't that funny? How are, like, Pecker's leaking or something?
Wiener and Pecker.
Yeah. Oh, they're going to go into that vault, and it's going to be like, they're going to go into the
just
vault.
Just a side note, school shootings happen more frequently since we've taken the Pledge of Allegiance out of the classroom.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, listen.
Come on.
Forget about you need to paddle the shit out of kids. People are fucking nuts. People don't.
You're not even a Christian.
People don't answer.
No, I'm not religious at all.
But listen, people do not answer for their fucking misgivings anymore.
The fucking
not only that, here's the problem. Not only do people don't answer for their misgivings, people can't even admit them. People make excuses for them. People justify why they do things wrong. They blame it on somebody, and that's why you have all this fucking discordance in the country. It has nothing to do with anything else of guns. Here's what we need. We need more guns in the hands of people that shoot stupid fucking people. That'll work. Any rate.
Well, I don't advocate violence, but I also don't advocate taking away anyone's guns.
Well, that ain't going to happen ever. And I love, that's why I love some of these Florida politicians. They're trying to get and utilize the Florida base of these people based on tragedy that occurred here. And they're saying, oh, listen, we're gonna solve so there's no more killing. No, here's what they're saying. There's not going to be any more guns. There'll be plenty of fucking killing still, but we're not worried about that. We're just worried about looking like we're doing something, which is the old liberal way. Act like we're doing something when nothing ever gets done.
And wow.
Listen, that's my soapbox.
Why wasn't that New Mexico compound about training kids how to do school shootings more of a news story? I don't get that.
We covered it on Mean and Sober.
Yeah, right? And we tried to talk about it. Here's nobody talking. Nobody's fuck. The fact that exists, it's like a roach. You found one roach. You don't think there's more?
Where's this Hogg kid and that other little
David Hogg? He's famous now. He's probably got an agent.
Yeah, he's got billions of fucking followers on Twitter, this kid. All right, here's our next story. Oregon store locks black hair case. Black hair care products in a case for security reasons. This is an interesting story.
Okay.
There's certain things I know when I go to the drugstore locked up, like Visine.
They always have razors.
Razors. Why do you think they did that?
I think because razors are sort of expensive and small.
And easy to thieve.
You could just steal it and put it in your pocket and it's 30 bucks or something.
It's not that the drugstores were being racist against men or hairy men.
Oh, is this a racism story?
Well, this is. This is a day and age where because of what's involved, and now the race card's being pulled. But an Oregon store locks black hair care products in a case for security reasons.
Were those more likely to be stolen?
I'm going to guess. If I'm a business owner, I do things because of what's happening. In other words, I don't just decide to go, I don't trust black people. I'm going to, you know what I mean?
Right.
I'm going to assume that there was a large level of theft going on, you know, so they said, we got to start locking this shit. Because when you do something like that, it costs money.
Yeah.
It costs money to build a case and, you know, and have somebody come out and fucking open it and all this shit. It impedes sales.
I'm against racism, but I think that a business owner should basically be able to run their businesses as they see fit.
Shoplifting is a costly problem. All retailers are constantly trying to combat this. This is theft is the biggest retail problem. When I worked at Publix, I had friends that worked there that would steal from the beer cage. Like, you know, the beer cage had all that fucking beer, and they thought that if this was gone, it would never be caught.
Did they think that the malt liquor was more likely to be stolen than the German Pilsners?
Oddly enough, nobody was stealing the malt liquor because we were in Coral Springs, a waspy town here.
Right.
The costly problem, at least one supermarket in Portland, Oregon, went about its loss prevention in a way that looks to many like a hurtful and sadly familiar form of discrimination.
It's funny.
I'm discriminating against the thieves.
Right. I mean, you figure you look at the data, I guess, every week, and you're like, our inventory's down in this product that we didn't sell, so let's lock up, let's put that one in the case.
You would think that would be that easy to disprove the theory that it's racist.
Or they're just like, no, it's let's make our store racist. I don't know.
Well,
maybe.
Side note, all video game consoles are usually black.
Okay.
They're locked up, too. So
yeah.
I guess.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah. Really interesting.
Well, nobody's going to bug about that.
Right.
Because the kid's getting, he'll sit there and wait. Even if I was, this is a particular woman who got upset. She goes, quote, even if I was to ask for someone to open it, now I will be followed through the store.
Okay.
Rivers asked in an interview, will they look at me and think she is probably going to steal it? Now, listen, if you got those questions in your head, then you have a fucking issue.
Hmm.
You know, I think getting back to the blind date thing,
uh-huh.
You know, like this is what's interesting. I'm saying you read people. You can read people by the questions they ask, right? And it's interesting when people ask questions because it kind of molds towards what their interests are and their like what they need to know and these different levels of trigger. You know what I mean? It's just like a, you know what
psychic,
I mean? So, yeah,
psychic.
Like, you know what I mean? Somebody asks you, have you ever cheated on somebody? All right, it's a simple question. Then you could say, why? Have you ever been cheated on?
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Where are we going with this? But this person's sitting there going, well, they're going to ask me this. It's all, if somebody's coming up with these things in their head, they're either drunk, drugs, right? The demons are listening to demons.
Right.
Or that's just their education. Somebody told them that, hey, this is the way life's going
to
treat you.
Well, it's possible to imagine someone who gets treated in a racist way, and then they sort of have become really sensitive to that. And so then they think everything becomes racist.
Listen, racism exists.
Right. So
I almost think like society's milking it when every time something happens now.
It's almost like a re-trauma. Like, oh my God, this is racist too. And it's like, well, maybe that's not, but I can see.
But that's the thing. It's almost like that's where the world is. That's why there's difference. And that's why there's separation in this country. Because people are like, enough of this shit.
Well,
whatever's happening, we are all here right now. We are all here right now, and we're all dealing with whatever the fuck we have in front of us.
I'm more irritated at the journalist who decided to make this into a story.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, why is this a story? Come on. Isn't there anything else happening in that town in Oregon?
Our comment from Kim Silvestuza says, the salesperson usually take the item right to the counter, then you can continue.
Oh, right. It doesn't really impede your... It is a little bit of a pain in the ass to have to ask to get the case unlocked.
But like I said, I did that with razors. I've done that with Visine. Right. You know what I mean? I mean, sometimes they just
condoms
give you the
Visines. Too. They lock up the condoms, and you really need those.
I never.
Only the Magnums.
Only the Magnums. Yeah. You got there first, Zero.
I've been behind you on every comment.
Now let me ask you a question: if the condoms aren't locked up, but the Magnums are, is that racist?
That's what I'm saying.
Well, listen, it's racist in thinking that only black men have big dicks.
That's right. I agree.
Yeah, there's a lot of us white big dick guys that are going, why the fuck is it always the black
guys?
Why, yeah. why are you discriminating me as a little dick guy?
That's
most stores are xenophobic. They lock up the lambskin ones.
That's
yeah, those are real feel. According to the sales spokesperson, in addition to hair products, the store locks up things like power tools, electric toothbrushes, razors, pens, bicycle accessories, and other sporting goods, but they don't lock up the condoms.
Hmm. And Newports.
And cool.
All right. Anyway.
So, you know, it's trying to say something that's not there. You're making something that isn't. It's the tail wagging the dog. Hmm. You know what I mean? And
shouldn't use the word dog in this conversation.
I know, it's bad. Oh, he called me a dog.
That was really funny.
Wasn't that funny?
That was hilarious.
The guy called the dog. I mean,
why
do anybody question the words he uses when he says shit? Here's the thing that always amazes me.
You're talking about Trump's tweet when he tweeted it.
Yeah, here's the
thing. Omarosa.
Here's the things that amaze me. Here's a guy during his campaign came out and said, I could shoot somebody.
Right.
Right?
Could shoot
some
dog
in the streets
of
New York.
Yeah.
And my followers. He said this. You know who you're dealing with now, and we're still getting surprised.
It's,
that to me is ignorance.
So I'm a fan of the mainstream media, as
right.
you guys know. But I did hear a story on NPR, and I was like, this is total crap. Like, they were on NPR, they tried to do an analysis of all the different insults that Trump has done against different people, and like,
right.
well, this person's white, and he tends. It's like when journalism is saying, well, 70% of the time when he uses a slur against black people, it's you know, referencing intelligence, and only 55% for white people. I'm like, journalism is broken.
Yeah, they're trying so hard.
That's not a legitimate question.
So, you know, here's the thing. I don't believe the guy's racist. I do believe he's, you know, he He's quick to judge. He's quick to flip the switch on somebody just to say, you're my friend. Fuck, you're an asshole now. You know what I mean?
Wait.
Which, to me, is worse than, and if you're going to get down to it, you know, somebody that could be like that quick to change their opinion, you know, is worse of a character flaw than even racism is.
Well, I would say, yes, I would say.
Because that affects everybody.
That is a character flaw. But I think, of course, Trump is racist. That's what he's most famous for.
He's not racist, dude.
He's a 71-year-old white dude from Queens. You think he's not racist?
No, I don't think so. Here's the thing.
I don't think that's the word.
Just like you can spin the shit like that because I said like with housing and stuff like that, and you know it's almost a similar thing like this. You know, it's like here's a reality set. I worked in the collection business.
Okay.
When I was in college, I did a job where I'd be a repo person.
Right.
Okay. The banks themselves, when they would send me out to get a car, you know, 95% of the cars I were getting were from black people.
Uh huh.
And it was like, I remember thinking the first thing, like, holy shit, you know, and the guy in the department. Like,
my company's racist.
This, I said, God damn, you guys are, you know, I'm serious. This is something. And then I sat there, they're like, unfortunately, they have the worst credit. It isn't, and then the jokes come out. And why does that happen? How come it's happened? I don't know, but it is. It just seems to be the way it is. And I remember thinking to myself, that's fucked up. And then when as a financial planner, I would sit down with folks, black folks, and I would go over stuff, and I would see, holy shit, this is the interest rate you're paying on this car loan or this, and like, this has got to change. So my advice to them was, how do you get this back, like anything,
right,
white, black, or whatever, you got to get your credit structure in order, right?
Right,
and,
right.
And no race should be stronger or more weakened by that, because these are general concepts of understanding how to keep, you know, to keep your credit straight. It has nothing to do with, you know, your height, your you know what I mean? These are some basic things, but
there could be cultural values there.
That says, look, if somebody never taught you that,
right?
That's but here's the thing. That's within the culture.
Right.
That's your village. That's the way things are. So that's the way things are. So there has to be a change. Somebody has to leap out, like Jonathan Livingston Seagull. You ever read that book? Livingston Seagull, where that one, you know, seagulls aren't supposed to fly.
Okay.
You know, and then all the fucking seagulls are just like going around, like picking and then flying a little bit. And then one of the fucking seagulls goes, "Fuck this! I don't want to be like all these goddamn seagulls. I'm gonna fucking run around. I'm gonna fly like an eagle. I'm gonna, you know." He must have heard some. Some Eagles song or Steve Miller band this seagull flies unlike any other seagull, and so you know, maybe Jonathan Livingston Seagull should be a book that kids should read so they don't fucking follow the trend of everyone before them.
I like that.
You know what I'm saying? But so that's why I mentored for Boys Clubs of America. This is when I mentored young black guys. This is the shit. This is the biggest fucking thing I would do. I'd say, look, forget all that shit you learned up until now.
Yeah.
You know, you have to fucking start from here. This is who you are. Become who the fuck you are, not who someone thinks you're going to be.
But if someone's never heard that message until you mentored them, then it's not surprising that, you know, like.
But why hasn't it? It's cultural. It has to do with decisions made within that culture.
That's true.
It's not something interference. Like if the aliens came and interfered with human race, which ancient astronaut theories believe. I always wanted to say that, which they actually do believe, and who's surprised they don't.
Look, I've noticed that, like, most of my Jewish friends, right, they were taught that education is really important,
right,
and that saving is really important,
right,
and they know about interest rates, and they know about compound interest and all that sort of thing. And I look around at my Jewish friends, and most of them have good credit. The only ones who don't, by the way, are the ones who got hit with drugs.
Yeah.
They became addicts, and then they had a whole other life story. But, like, that's a cultural thing. Like their parents are telling them, hey, this is an important thing.
And each culture has a responsibility, just as we as individuals have the responsibility to step up. And if you want, you know, there's been, and that's what I'm saying, in this country, it's not perfect, but there's been assistance, and there's trying to, if anything, there's no other country in the world that's better at trying to have everybody, you know, trying to get people out. You know what I mean? You can't, it's hard to, because everybody's got to, not everybody can lose weight. Right. If you go to Weight Watchers, not everybody that fucking signs up for Weight Watchers loses weight. So not everybody in life is going to be frugal. Not everybody's going to make great decisions. It's the difference between those folks are the ones that have something to blame it on and the ones that say, fuck it, this is my problem. That's all this cultural bullshit, fucking whatever. You know, like I said, I come from a family that we should have been always late. Nobody in my family were geniuses, da 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 da, all this shit. I could have believed, you know, but there's a different message.
So you're an individualist. That's really what you're coming down on all this stuff.
I'm a self-preservationist.
He's a fucking seagull.
He's not following Zero. I'm a fucking seagull. All right. I am flying through the air.
I don't feel like... Look at Dougie. You think he could fly? I feel like he'd have a hard time getting lift off, Dougie.
Yeah, I could fly.
I believe I could fly. Would it be instead of creating a new language like Ebonics, fixing your credit?
Well, I don't think there's anything wrong with Ebonics, but I do think
Nothing's wrong with it.
Okay.
But if you're going to still have bad credit and Ebonics, well, one should have been fixed before the other got started.
Yeah, it's good to be.
I'm not against anything. Well, do what you want to do.
I think what's right...
Just don't complain about the bed you made.
I think what's right about what Dougie's saying, or I guess what both you guys are saying, is that it does kind of have to happen at an individual level, right? Whatever your background
is. From the individual, then shared with those in your culture.
Yeah.
That's why, you know, when you talk about Jewish, that they save money and have money. Yeah.
And they were oppressed.
There's reasons for that. But it's done. It is what it is. And it's a good thing. And you know what? And, you know, it's respectful that people work together and stay together, and where other people say, that's not fair. You're not sharing with other people and stuff. Listen, I'm a self-preservationist first and foremost. I believe the only person that's really going to help me is me.
Right.
Right. Everything else, the only other way I'm going to get assistance in life is if I'm that person that people want to help. I don't want to ask for it. I don't want to beg for it. I'm just hoping that it's offered because people recognize value, and perhaps it may be a good thing that they're going to do. They have to be inspired to help me. They don't have to feel like they're pushed into a corner to help me.
Look, if you go back in this country like 150 years ago, the Irish all were getting in fights all the time. They had bad credit or whatever the equivalent of that was at that time. They committed murders at a way higher rate.
Right.
They were not allowed to have certain jobs. I mean, they were oppressed. And now, basically, Irish people are indistinguishable from every other white person, at least, right? Yeah. So, I mean, the cultures can change over time, and I think that can happen to any culture.
I think so, and I think, listen, and I've said this, Chris Priester, my good friend, we have our Ebony and Olive comedy tour going out.
Yeah.
You know, we've talked about it, and I mentored, like I said, I've been in it, when I mentor them, it's a change. There's too many that have excuses, and I break it down to the simple. It's like, why, if I'm not losing weight, why am I doing it? Because of the excuses I'm making, because of the fucking things I'm not following. And I'm the one who's responsible for it. You know, I'm not going to sit there and blame, you know, the makers of Nabisco. I'm not, you know what I mean? The guys who make the fucking Reese's Cup. I'm not going to blame them for taunting me with the fucking Reese's Cup. Anyway.
Ridges. Reese's and ridges.
Anyway, that's all we have time for here on the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. I want to thank Ciro Dobrik and Ethan Moore for joining me today.
Thank you.
Thanks, Dougie.
And this is going to be a great week, guys, by the way. Don't forget, Wednesday night, Tavolino's Wise Guys Comedy Show. Jimmy Schubert, your headliner.
Nice.
Not too bad. Kenny Perry Sack will be there, and Jackie Sanchez will be doing a spot. Yeah. And Thursday, I'm going to be at the iHeart Performance Theater in Palm Beach, along with Jimmy Schubert and Gene Harding. Can't go to that unless you own a Bremen motor car. And on Friday and Saturday, I'm going to be at the Comedy Inn in Miami with Jimmy Schubert and a few other comics. So go to comedyinn.com for more dates, and go to Dougie Almeida more dates, and follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Dougie Dangerous, and join our fan page, Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. You can go to our podcast site, Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. Podbean.com. Donate and do your best. Ethan,
You can follow me on Twitter or Instagram at Ethan Is Not Funny. You can also check out my anarchist podcast, where we talk about all the political issues of the day, Mean and Sober, meanandsober.com, or on iTunes.
There you go, guys. And I don't know. Ciro would be giving you a plug right now, but he's pissing. So
he's abducted by the Illuminati.
That's what happens when you drink fucking 14 Pepsis. Fucking in one sitting. Anyway.
That was his individual choice.
Go to the 19th hole in his open mic on Monday nights. Right there by the Mardi Gras Casino. He'll have it every Monday night if you're a comic. Don't forget, guys, tomorrow in the studio, Elgin David and Danny the Jew will be back. And on Thursday, and special show, guys, Wednesday, I'll have Jimmy Schubert sitting in the studio with me.
Sweet.
Talking about all kinds of things, guys. Thanks for listening. God bless, and we'll see you here tomorrow at the same spot. Take care.
People on earth, can you hear me? Came a voice from the sky on a magical night. And in the colors of a thousand sunsets, they travel to the world on a silvery light. The people of the earth stood waiting, watching as the ships came one by one. Setting fire to the sky as they landed, carrying to the world children of the sun. Children of the sun.